CliffCentral.com.
See, you told everyone your deepest, darkest secret. You must be so embarrassed.
Yes, good morning, everybody. Here we are on a Wednesday. October is almost beyond done. 24th already. Jesus. You know, honestly, like November, it's just a blur. And then before you know it, December comes along. Nobody works. Nobody works from about the 12th of December. In fact, even Ben's birthday at the beginning of December. After that, it's downhill. After that, everybody just stops doing things.
Yeah, it's the annual thing, Gareth. Everyone celebrates my birthday. But then, that's the pinnacle of the year, right there.
They get drunk on your birthday, and then they can't do anything from there on.
I think the point Gareth was trying to get to wasn't around your birthday.
No, it's all about Ben's birthday, but okay, don't you know? Sure.
It's also my birthday.
When?
The 4th of December.
Oh, look at you. What a week. Also December girl.
What a week. Well, actually, so the 2nd's a Sunday, so there'll be extra drinking this year. But then Nolo's will be the Tuesday.
All right. Well, so much to talk about today, and there's plenty in the news, and of course we'd like to hear from you as well, so you know how to do that. You can message us 0797482090. I got to remind people, because sometimes you have an idea and you forget the number and then you don't know how to get hold of us, and you think, these idiots in the studio are talking nonsense. I need to add my 2 cents worth to make them sound sensible, or at least to let everybody else listening know that there aren't only idiots in the world. So you can join in. You know what to do.
Restore hope in the world.
Yeah. Call us on 0861-555-189 or message us on 079-748-2090. Just put them on your phone and you never know when you could use them. Mm. You know? So I did my big spring clean yesterday, which was very exciting.
How much stuff are you throwing out?
So much.
So much.
So much stuff.
Yeah, I did some clothes over the weekend. Mm-hmm. I was going to the hospice store.
Right.
How did you have the energy to do that straight after your trip?
I had to do it. It was on my calendar of things to do. And you know I keep lists of everything. I have a list for lists. Seriously. I have files at home. I have 4 boxes of files, okay? And then there's a list of the files inside the boxes of files so I can find them easily. That's how messed up I am.
Fantastic.
But I love it, man. I love it, Sia. I can find anything.
You have a list?
If you ask me for a payslip from 2009, I can find it for you.
No way.
Yes.
You have lists on your phone.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do you have lists on your laptop?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have lists?
Well, it's on notes, so it just copies across all of them. I don't have to redo it every time.
Do you have lists on your fridge?
No. No, no, no. There's no paper lists. It's all, now it's digital.
Oh, my goodness.
But anyway,
so
I sorted out my cupboards yesterday. You know what I've decided to do is just throw out stuff that I'm not sure about. Like, if you have a T-shirt you haven't worn in like 3 or 4 years, and you bought it with the best intention in the world, you spent your money, your hard-earned money, you bought this thing and you haven't worn it in 3 or 4 years, if you haven't worn it in a year and a half, throw the thing away. Throw it away. Give it to someone who needs it. Trust me, you don't need 1,000 T-shirts. I used to go out and I would buy a whole lot of clothes that I thought looked cool because I saw them in the shop. All right, and I'd get home afterwards and I'd go, why did I even buy that?
Mm-hmm.
And this is not a question of like having money lying around that I should be burning. Smart people, stupid people, rich people, and poor people all do this stuff. So don't look at me and go, oh, well, you just like wasting money. Because I'd get home and I'd see a shirt and I'd go, there is no way I will be able to wear this in public at this age and stage of my life and feel like comfortable about it. There's no way. I hate T-shirts with big branding on them.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's taken me a while to realize that I shouldn't wear them because I look dorky and, you know, it's not real. It's not me. I got to wear plain.
You don't have tattoos either. So.
I don't have tattoos, exactly. So.
Big branded shirts.
That
and
whole
tattoos.
Ed Hardy phase we all went tattoos. Through. Oh.
Well, I don't know if it was all.
I never wore a baseball cap in my life.
Yeah, because you got good hair.
No, it's because I look stupid in a baseball cap.
Okay, well, I know. I was trying to be nice.
Yeah, thanks, Ben. I look in the mirror and I know exactly. But the point is this, right? When I go to my cupboard now, I'm going to open it up and go, anything in here I could wear and it'll be fine. I don't want to think too much about what to wear every day. So if I have a jacket that doesn't fit perfectly, throw it away. Wear the one that fits perfectly. And if you use it 4 times a month, then it's worth having.
Mm. Very good. That's why you should buy quality over quantity.
Yes. Buy one good suit or buy one good pair of shoes. I had such a great interview yesterday. I spoke to Ricky Rick, you know, the rapper, singer, and musician. He's just such an awesome guy. He really is. You're going to love him. When you hear this interview, you're going to fall in love with the dude.
Yeah, I can always tell after your pre-records when you come out and you're still talking to the guests, things are going, they've gone well.
Yeah, he's just the kind of... I could have had him in there for 2 hours and we still would have been going strong. Point is, he was saying to me he got through a stage or went through a stage, and maybe he's still going through it, but he just bought sneakers. He's got a sneaker obsession like I do. And he said eventually he's got this wall of sneakers at home and he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't wear half of them. So now he just gives them away to people. And he keeps the ones that he wears.
No more eating cotton.
Right. And now it's no more eating cotton. And now it's in his head. See, he explained that to me yesterday. It means, and it comes from one of his songs, that he cares about fashion.
Yes.
He's a fashionable dude. Anyway.
Direct translation doesn't work.
No.
So Nola's paying attention, which is good. So probably that informed part of why I needed to do this cleanup. But I always feel so great afterwards when I go to a cupboard and it's tidy and it's orderly and it's organized and it's arranged by color or whatever, not because anyone else sees it. I don't post these pictures on social media or anything. It gives me such happiness and such pleasure. I cannot begin to tell you.
How long did it take you?
Probably about 2.5-3 hours.
Whoa.
No, but it was great because I sorted out the clothes that I was going to give to charity. Then I sorted out the ones that are going into storage because they're winter clothes. And then I sorted out and I made a little list quickly of the things that I might need to get for summer. Hmm. Like this, you know, if you wear a stringy
vest.
No, but I don't think so. If you wear a white t-shirt and you wear it more than, I don't know, 40, 50 times, it doesn't look so great after that.
Mm-hmm.
Others
washing cars with it, yeah.
Correct. So you don't. There's no point in trying to wear that, so you need to go and get a plain white t-shirt. So that sort of thing. And underwear you can't keep for a year and a half. It's just revolting, you know?
Mm.
So you got to get rid of that stuff and buy new, fresh stuff. But otherwise, it's like sorting stuff out, taking a look at all this stuff. Because we all have to dress. Nobody walks out of their house naked. You have to put on clothes, and you may as well put on clothes that you can feel confident about. And if you're storing them up in your house and they're taking up space, why have them? Why? Clean that shit out.
The hoarder in me is trying not to think that way.
Yeah, why are you hoarding? What do you want to keep all that stuff for? Are there things in your cupboard you haven't worn for like 3 years?
Oh, yeah. More than that, even. But like I like.
Are you ever going
to
wear them? Honestly, think of an occasion.
You never know. That's what my brain tells
me. Like your dress-up Nazi uniform for Prince Harry's party.
Well,
are you ever going to wear that again?
See, I keep that for, you know, I might just eBay it one day as well. But I look at things and just to remember where I wore it and, just how it makes me feel. I still have my christening outfit, for goodness sake. And it's just like sitting and it's hung up.
Can't you take a picture of it?
Feeling the little silk of the little pants I wore when I was christened.
You know what the best feeling is? Forget about that. The best feeling is looking at a cupboard and there's an empty shelf.
Oh, wow.
It isn't full of stuff. Like, you've got other shelves that you've sorted, and there's one that's empty. It's like opportunity. That could be filled with something cool one day.
I don't know how that feels.
Oh, it's a great
I really don't. I need to see everything. Yeah.
Plus, we live in a country where we really can't afford to have more than we need in terms of just luxuries. Mm. You know, I mean, you can have... It's stupid for anyone to have 200 jackets. I see these people and... You see the celebrities on these TV shows, and they've got these walk-in closets that are huge. They're the size of my whole house. And I go, they never wear any of that. They're hoarding. They're basically like they're stockpiling clothing which is a stupid thing to stockpile because it's not as if there's ever going to be a shortage of clothes. China's producing so many goddamn clothes. They've already clothed the earth five times over. Right? You're not going to run out of clothes. If you've bought something that's really special to you, sure, keep it. But you don't need... Do you really want to hold on to that stupid shirt that looks like Lederhosen that someone bought you once as a joke, as a gag gift? Or that shirt with the stupid slogan on it that you know is going to make you...
Oh, I have so many of those, actually.
Yeah, all right.
You're worse than me.
I threw out
a couple of shirts yesterday. No, I'm never going to wear a shirt that says, I called into Gareth Cliff's show and Damon cut me off. I'm never going to wear that, ever. As long as I live, it's gone.
I have a t-shirt that says, it's one of those lost signs, as in if something is lost and you put up a poster of like, please help me look for this. And the slogan is, lost my homework. If found, please complete and return.
I'm like, you still have it?
Yes.
You see, throw it
in my mind, I thought I was so cool buying that.
Throw it away. And then I went through, because you can gather up bathroom stuff, man. And I know girls are worse than guys at this. Way worse. Girls collect beauty products. Oy, yoy, yoy. But even men, you find like you've got three bottles of shampoo lying around. Do you also have that? And you're like, the one has got a tiny little bit left at the bottom. The next one's half full and the other one is brand new. You're like, why do I have three? Empty the one with the little bit into the one with half and throw away one.
That's called marrying up.
Yes.
No.
You can do the same with booze bottles, actually.
Yeah, you should.
So keeping all that stuff. That's what they're doing, boss.
I'm going to expose myself with this, but this is the circle of trust.
All right, go ahead. Course, yeah. Don't be ashamed.
Okay. So, you know how I've been traveling for the past couple of weeks around the country working?
Durban and Cape Town, and you're doing Bloemfontein this weekend.
And I stay at hotels, and hotels, you get little samples.
How many do you have?
Am I the only one who always takes those home?
No,
I do too.
Everyone does. Depends what it is. Like, you don't take the shampoo because it's just some generic crap.
Some people do because they go, well, this I'll need when I travel next.
Yeah.
Although when you get to where you're traveling next, they always provide you with shampoo. Yeah.
So over the past couple of weeks, I'm just racking this up. So as you reference shampoos, I'm thinking about
how many
that shelf of just conditioner, shampoo, lotion, you name it, all in these tiny bottles. And
it's okay, Sierra. It's built into the price.
Just
don't steal the towels. Leave the towels. Leave the Bible. Leave the TV remote.
And the robes.
Leave the robes. Leave the TV.
You can't take the slippers, right?
Yeah.
I lie.
Yes.
Who's
going to
use
you
the slippers
can?
Again?
Yeah, you can.
I want to wash the slippers.
But you know what? I don't.
It's snorer of me.
It's
snorer.
No, it's fine. People take it. Ben says, and he's right. It's in the price.
And the slippers are
you mustn't steal the hair dryer.
Yeah. Don't steal the mirror.
Don't take any furniture.
Guys.
And don't take the bedspread. No, listen, I've spoken to people who work at these major chains of hotels, and they've told me horror stories.
People have taken
the curtains down and put them in their bags.
No, stop.
Yes. Huh? Yes, they'll take the curtains down.
What are you thinking to yourself as you are now stretched
It's called poverty of the mind. What happens is people see stuff, and they can't help themselves. They have to take it. They are always going to be poor people, because people who do that have no idea of how to conserve stuff. They have no idea how to build stuff, how to grow stuff. They must take. They're parasitic.
Mm.
No, there are people like that. They're a major problem in the world.
Okay. I'm not there yet.
But taking the shampoo, give yourself a break.
These are the same people that really damage a buffet. Mm-hmm. Scuffing the whole deal.
Yes. I know those.
Yeah.
I know way too many of those.
Flip.
Yeah.
I once saw a woman go up to a buffet. She had her handbag strategically. And I thought, why did you just leave it at the table? You're at a wedding. No one's going to steal your handbag at the wedding. I mean, what kind of people have you invited to the wedding? She went to the buffet with her handbag. She opened up one of those paper napkins, stuffed a whole lot of shit into a big, she spread it out. Paper napkin, tied it into a bundle, put it in her handbag. Shameless.
Mm.
Shameless. Didn't realize this is a completely antisocial way to behave, and you will never be invited to something if someone sees you do that again. Ever. You're not only going to get just a little sample of food as your booty for that day, but you will never be invited to a place where there is free food again. People think such short-term, in short-term ways, mm-hmm. right? They need that. They're going to take this home. And listen, I understand there are people who have 5-6 screaming brats at home they have to feed. They get to the buffet at the wedding. They're like, oh, Jesus, this is the answer to all my prayers. I've got those children at home. They don't stop eating, and my salary is not going to make enough of a dent in the food budget.
But more often than not, that's not the case.
No, it's
people.
Just a greedy. It's just greediness. Yeah. You know, and you don't have to be wealthy to be greedy. I know loads of people who are poor and very greedy. Greediness goes right across the spectrum. I know very wealthy people who are supremely greedy and they're schnorrer. They'll switch off the lights and they'll make sure that their timer on their pool it works only an hour a day so that they don't get charged extra electricity, and they have those switches on their geysers and they schnorrer, which is probably smart. I mean,
yeah.
Save yourself some money. And then you get those people who are poor in their schnorrer. They don't spend on a damn thing. They never, ever pull out their wallet at dinner. They, you know, the kind of people who complain the whole time about how little they have. And all they do is think about themselves and their money, whether they're rich or poor. It's a way, attitude to, like, abundance that they just don't have. When you break through that wall, you realize, like, none of that stuff is finite. There's always going to be more. There is so much in the world. You have, the minute you stop caring about how much you have, you start seeing how much there is, everything opens up. You stop worrying.
Good point.
You know, it's a hard thing for some people to get into their heads.
It's control, ultimately. If you're always looking for control and stability.
Well, yeah. But anyway, I was so happy with myself yesterday. So proud of myself for cleaning up my cupboards. It's the best feeling in the world. Makes spring real to me. I actually do a proper
spring cleaning.
Cliched spring clean.
It's were you so listening good. To music when you were doing it?
No. I'm busy. I'm like, I sometimes listen to podcasts while I'm doing that stuff.
Because,
mm-hmm. you know, it's a solo endeavor, so you're busy sorting it into piles and all that kind of crap. And then you're making little notes. And anyway, it's good. And then store stuff. And I love it because you could store stuff in shoeboxes and in containers, and you can label them. I mean, I'm such a goddamn nerd. Then I know exactly where anything is.
I'm still waiting for you to take me up on my offer. Come and clean my house. Come.
No, you see, that's the funny thing. Is
like, you do manual labor.
You could not pay me enough to sort out your shit, but I'll sort out mine.
After a bad day, you'll ring me up, Papa.
Gareth will walk into
open the... Yeah. I'll give you... We all have that one drawer in our places.
Yeah.
That's just a mess. I'll give you the drawer. I'll give you the whole cabinet.
He'll walk in there, look at you... Look at your feet, and then just walk out.
My feet?
Well, he'll look at you up and down in disgust.
Oh, I'm like, what did my feet have to do with this?
Anyway, I don't think I'm the only one. I think a lot of people do this. Michelle says, Israelis were or are known for stealing almost everything in hotels in Turkey. Well, there's a generalization, but okay. Including the taps, according to Michelle. Taps!
Guys, no.
I really try to have faith in humanity.
She also says, I'm so glad I have a uniform. The only problem is I don't know how to dress when I'm off work. Yeah, you see, that is always the best argument. I know a lot of people who go to school and who wear uniforms at work, they complain about it because they go, I feel like I'm in the military or I'm in the 1900s and I'm in service or whatever. But actually, like a uniform just takes one extra decision that you don't need to make out of your day. And gives you space to make the important decisions. I mean, he's a douchebag, but that's why Zuckerberg wears those gray T-shirts and jeans every day. He doesn't want to think about what to wear. He said that's not important. He's got enough decisions to make in the day. He gets decision fatigue at a certain point. The last thing he wants to think about is, what am I going to wear? If you've got really important decisions to make, what you wear is not one of them. If you're an unimportant person, it's quite a big deal. And I'm not saying I'm not saying it doesn't matter. First impressions matter.
Yes.
And the way people present themselves is massively important. But in the case of a geek like Zuckerberg, no one's looking at him. Trust me. No one's going to a meeting with Zuckerberg because they're attracted to him. No one's ever gone to a meeting with Zuckerberg because they were attracted to him.
Does it make sense that I dress according to my mood?
Yeah, well, I've seen it with you. I've seen it. I can tell. I see you in the morning, and I can tell immediately what your mood is.
What she's going through. Yeah. Mm. Monday was a beret like, and the fishnet stockings.
I was feeling very funky and grunge on
today,
Monday.
You are probably a little bit tired,
yeah,
a bit scratchy.
Yeah, I was just taking it easy. Literally grabbed the first thing I could find and just threw it on.
You're wearing your Ferguson Films, like, hoodie.
Yeah.
Yeah. You work with Connie and...
I did at some point when I was doing my internship, yeah.
Nice. All right. You've done some interesting work, Nola. Sean says, thank fuck I never fell for the Ed Hardy scam. Those t-shirts are nauseating. However, I did own 3 Von Dutch shirts.
Oh,
that was the other one. That was the other one.
Now, that Von Dutch phase, I had sisters who went through the Von Dutch handbags. And it, like, the handbags were, I wonder if any of you remember them, these tiny, tiny bags.
Yep.
What made them even more ridiculous was they had these tiny straps. So you actually couldn't pull the bags up to your shoulder. You had to just pull them around.
That's
and
hilarious.
You could never fit anything into them. They came in these bright colors, like this bright electric blue, and just Dutch slapped on it. Oh, it was bad.
Lubabala says, talking about pay slips, Gareth, are you doing better financially than you were on SABC?
What a segue. When did you get there?
Yeah, I hate talking about money, but I'll answer this because I know Lubabala cares about, you know, listening to us, and he's what I'll say to you is, I'm not earning that amount of money a month, but I am way happier and I have more freedom. And there are great months where I exceed expectations, and there are months where I do not. And that's what's nice about being in charge of your own destiny. Of course, I can't control whether or not, you know, my spending will be the same every month, whether my earnings will be the same every month. That depends. But on the whole, I would not go back for 10 times the money. That's the truth. Anyway, I suppose that's true for a lot of people.
Well, of course not, because with that 10 times we promised, it wouldn't be paid.
Yeah, SABC have no money, but you know, there are people there who get paid. There are people, and they are earning good money. Some of them are earning way too much for the kind of audience that they manage to deliver and the kind of advertising they attract on their shows.
You know, signing deals for 5 million rand to deliver sport.
Well, I mean, that's Ben's big dream. Don't and one day it'll happen, Sia. You gotta keep at it, man. 5 years in May we'll be doing this, huh? 5 years.
Oh.
So there are going to be some changes, I'm just telling you.
Mm.
There always have to be changes. You got to keep on reinventing and reorganizing.
Change is going to come.
Change. All right, let's get into some actual stories.
Sure.
You want to do the 5 things?
Yo.
All right. Just before the 5 things, smart money. Yeah, we're talking about getting your life organized, right? It's spring. People want to get ready for the most important months of the year, the most fun, the most exciting months of the year. So you need to get your finances in order. Smart money is a series of financial tips for different life stages. Maya Fisher-French speaks to various experts as they help us to find answers to pressing financial questions. What kinds of questions do you think, Sia?
Financial questions we all need to know. So where and how should we be investing?
Yes, saving for retirement, even though for you that's 100 years away.
But as a young person, you should be more financially responsible.
Well, yes. If you start early, you could be rich early.
Mm-hmm.
Which takes away the anxiety of getting older.
Correct, because no one wants to be old and poor.
Yeah.
You don't mind if you're old and rich, but being old and poor...
Choose a struggle.
Yeah. Making sure that you have the correct health care. Navigating the gig economy. And, of course, that's going to change even more in the next few years. Saving from a millennial perspective. How to get married and, well, not how to get married, but how that might affect you financially. Because a lot of people don't realize there are 2 things that are really, really expensive. Having children and getting married. But more especially, getting divorced. Mm. Jesus, does that cost you money? Just ask Donald Trump. It bankrupted him. So, if you want to know more, listen to Smart Money. It's brought to you by Discovery, getting your money right for your life. It's a podcast series, so you download it and listen when you want to. You can binge the whole series, or you can listen one episode at a time, however you want to do it. The show plays out every Wednesday at 9 a.m. on cliffcentral.com, and all 12 episodes of the podcast are available on our channel. So go along and get them on the Cliff Central app and anywhere that you get great podcasts. You know this show is available on Spotify as well, right?
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. So much awesome. Yesterday.
I don't mind what you listen to or where you listen to us. I don't mind if you listen to us on Spotify, on Stitcher, on Apple Podcasts. Lots of people just subscribe on there. It's probably the easiest way to do it. And if you do subscribe, give us a review. Give us the 5 stars if you can. If you're not going to give us 5 stars, just don't fucking say anything, all right? I don't want 4 stars and 3. I'd rather keep it to yourself. If you're going to give us 5 stars, awesome. Thank you. Thank you. All right, and listen to us wherever you need to. That's the important message here. All right, so some news for you today. First things first, Floyd Shivambu, who really is, he's just an ignoramus. He really is. Floyd cannot, and now we're starting to see the true colors of the EFF, and it's not red for revolution or for the workers or for the poor or the unemployed. It's red for danger. That's what red is. Stay away from these people. If you see a red robot, you stop. You get out of there. See red lights in the traffic, you know there's a backup. Red is a bad color. When you see red in Parliament,
emergency vehicles.
Someone's made a mistake. Someone voted by mistake for someone. It's a bad idea. These people are dangerous. Floyd Shivambu, remember him and Julius and everyone else screaming at Jacob Zuma, pay back the money?
Yeah. Mm.
Well, people are now chanting that at Floyd.
How the wheel just changes.
Yes. Because the VBS bank saga hangs over the economic freedom fighters. Even as they take to the National Assembly on Tuesday afternoon, the ANC members of Parliament shouted at Floyd to pay back the money as he took to the podium on the debate against the Competition Amendment Bill. Oh, yes. His brother Brian is one of the 50 individuals named in the VBS bank report for having received $16 million. And can I also point out how extremely colonial the names Floyd and Brian are? Really, if we're going to be an anti-colonial movement, Floyd. Floyd is such an old English name. No English people even give that to their children. And Brian, you've got to be kidding me. Brian? Brian? What black people do you know called Brian? How many? Give me... Come on. None.
I do know Brian. I do know Brian.
A black guy called Brian?
Yeah.
Okay. Does he talk like this and went to Markle House?
Not really. No. His second name is Bruno.
Oh, even worse.
Brian Bruno. Yes.
Was he adopted by what?
Brian Bruno.
Shut up or you're going to give away his whole identity.
Let's catch Floyd some slack. His second name is Nico.
Okay.
Dude.
Well, maybe he added that afterwards.
Nico Shivambu.
You never know. Anyway, so he's getting the heat in Parliament. But there we go. I could have told you this would happen.
Yeah.
Cyril Ramaphosa has called on South Africa's top CEOs to lead by example. Well, why don't you? They're not there to set an example. They're there to earn money. That's why they run businesses. Like you did when you opted out of politics. Because Thabo Mbeki was better at it than you. And then you came back once Thabo Mbeki was out of the picture and Jacob Zuma had completely ruined the country. So don't tell other people what to do by example. You do it. You wanted to be a politician after you were a business person. Nobody was telling you what to do while you were a business person. It's one of the reasons you like being a business person, Cyril. Stop telling people what to do. You've entered a sphere of influence now where we're going to criticize you for everything you do because you've gone into politics. Mm. When you were the boss of Shanduka, nobody cared. Nobody came to your office and said, you got to do this differently. How dare you? Because you would have said, get out of my office. I have R1 billion in the bank. I don't want to talk to you, peasant. And people would have to leave because you'd have security escort them out of your building. But now you're president. You're in no position to do anything but listen to us. Because the people of this country expect you to do something. And the one thing you shouldn't do is pass the buck to everyone else. Like CEOs of companies. Do you know how hard it is for a CEO of a company right now to make any money thanks to shit decisions that the government have made? Do you know what kind of an economy we're dealing with, Cyril? We're in recession because of politicians like you. Don't get involved in our shit. You should know better. And as someone who has tons of money in the bank, you have a bloody cheek telling people who are still trying to make their tons of money how to do it and what to do in their spare time by leading by example. Get out of it. Anyway, he was speaking at the investment summit, which kicks off later this week. He said he's confident his government will reach its target of $100 billion in investment over the next 5 years. Well, good luck with that. Why would anyone want to invest in us now? A receding economy? What are you smoking? He says local business must play their part. We want most of it to come from our own country so that South Africans invest in their own economy. Why?
You Why? Ask with tears in your eyes.
Next sentence.
What are these people? And by the way, who are these CEOs who are sitting in the front row nodding while Cyril's saying this nonsense? Shouldn't they be going, why?
Yeah, why isn't he getting heckled at these things?
Anyway.
You know, like, you go to these things and everyone, because Cyril's a bit of a darling of this, we know Praveen loves a good breakfast speech and everyone loves that too.
Good breakfast
but it's absolute horseshit. Everyone stands around and acts all polite and all dressed in suits and they go, yes, no, there's still hope. And okay, well, Cyril said there's still hope. You know, he's a really nice guy too and he speaks really well.
Yeah. So we're going to believe him. You know what? If you're one of those, if you're one of those corporate CEOs, you would run a big company because you've just been there so long, no one else knew how to do anything, and you like what Cyril said yesterday, and you're clapping it up in the front row and going, "Yes, let's lead by example, lead SA, and all this shit." Go ahead.
Cut the barista.
See how long your business lasts.
Cut the barista coffees and the salmon and quail egg tartlets.
Just ask
ahead. Him why, or
you
shut up.
Uncritical, unthinking. Follower. You're not a leader then. You're a follower. You're following Cyril. It kind of negates the whole point of leadership, right? Anyway, they found bits of Khashoggi's body. Isn't this good?
Finally.
Oh, no.
Remember, he was seen entering the Saudi consulate on the 2nd of October. It's been a long time. And the Sky News are now reporting that body parts belonging to him have been found.
Oh,
yes, he'd been cut up and his face was disfigured.
Sheesh.
The latest developments come hours after Turkey's president said Khashoggi's body had not been found and demanded that Saudis reveal its whereabouts. When the murder was so clear, why have so many inconsistent statements been made? Why is the body of someone, the killing of whom has been officially admitted, nowhere to be found? The Turkish president gave no specific details. I'm making a call here on high-level executives, primarily King Salman. This incident took place in Istanbul, therefore the adjudication of these 15 people should be carried out in Istanbul. The apparent discovery of his body parts and Erdogan's version of events, based on what he described as new evidence and information, both contradict Saudi Arabia's explanation for his death. So the story gets murkier. All right, you want another story?
Sure.
Well, here's something controversial. The French have banned a full-body Islamic veil, and the UN has said that violates human rights.
Ah, the UN. Fighting the good fight.
That's right. The UN have decided that they are the people that we can rely on to stand up for those poor women who want to wear the veil so desperately. Who just all they really need is to wear the veil and then their rights will be respected. Because, of course, if they don't wear the veil, they can't honor their husbands and their traditions and their religion. And that would be much worse than trying to assimilate into a culture in a country that you've made the move into. It's unbelievable. You go to a country because it's better than the shithole country you come from. But
the shithole country.
Shithole country. Listen, we just spoke about Khashoggi, right?
Yes.
Do you want to be in Saudi Arabia? Do you want to be in Iran? Do you want to be in Turkey? Hell no. Why are people moving out of those countries?
I'd rather have a croissant.
Right, have a croissant and sit under the Eiffel Tower and sip a coffee
oui.
and walk around in high heels, because that's why France is great. But no, you want to wear a veil in France, so you want your cake and you want to eat it. What is the UN getting involved in this for? They're making it worse. Do you know how many right-wing lunatics there are in France who just want to kill immigrants? Mm. Then the UN says this and they go, well, we must get out of the EU, we must get out of the UN, and we must be closing this country off, putting up walls. No more Muslims. This is very, very bad.
United Nations is global, so they don't have the French accent.
No, I'm saying the French. That's the right-wing French people.
Okay.
Listen, guys, can we just get some perspective on this? If you move out of a shithole country into a nice country, and you do it legally, like so many Muslims have into Europe, right? Good people who want to contribute to the economy.
Yep.
Let's take them at their best. These are young men and women who don't see a future for themselves in Syria or in Turkey or in Iraq or in Iran or in Saudi Arabia, because there is no future in those places. They're living in the past. So they move to a place like France and they go, I'm going to work hard and I'm going to give my family an opportunity in France. They'll grow up speaking French. They'll be part of the world rather than part of some village full of rubble. And what do? Well, the first thing you do is you try to be more French, because that's what works in France. You don't try to be more Muslim in France. Otherwise, why not just stay in the Muslim country? I mean, this is not about nationalism. It's not about borders. It's not about immigration. The best success stories in the world are from people who assimilate into the culture. You know how many Jews left Europe either before or after World War II? And we know what Jews in Europe had to put up with at that time. They went to America, they went to South Africa, they went to Australia, they went all over the world. They learnt the language. They paid attention to the culture. They kept their traditions, but they learnt the language. They learnt to be Americans. And you know what? They've been successful. Mm. If you go to a country, you think Zimbabweans come here and say, well, you know, we're going to take a whole lot of the things that didn't work in Zimbabwe and we're going to make them happen here in South Africa.
Not a chance.
No, they try to fit in and make it work. And they work damn hard at it. Nigerians come here. They don't try to be Nigerian here. They don't bring extra Nigeria here. They try to be more South African. They try to get into the South African economy and make themselves useful and make a job for themselves, make a living for their children and for their wives and their families and their husbands and whoever else they bring with them. I mean, people are trying to make their lives better. They're not trying to make their lives worse. So why do you do this? Why do you go to France and then become a fundamentalist? It kind of negates the reason you went to France. Or am I dumb?
No. I don't think so, Gary. I think you make a fair point. Just look at Scandinavian countries.
Look at what countries?
Like some Scandinavian countries where some towns have just become Islamic completely, as in...
Yeah, I mean, why not just stay in Iran if you're going to be like that and have women walk around covered up head to toe and, you know, you got these male gangs walking around behaving like they're in Kandahar. Stay in Kandahar if you want to do that. The reason you've moved to a better country is because it's better there. Don't make it worse. And the veil is not necessarily going to make it worse, but in this case, it's a French thing to not cover up your woman. In France, women show off everything. There are nude women walking around in France.
But isn't it also a French thing to allow freedom of religion?
Of course it is. But if you are going
this
to...
is part of their
religion. There are security concerns around this too, and let's not be just humanitarian about this. There are people who... You need an ID photo that doesn't show just your eyes. That's how France works with its ID photos. So take off the goddamn veil so we can see it's you. We know Islam has a bit of a reputation problem, and I don't think that's saying too much. It has a bit of a reputation problem when it comes to terror attacks all over the world. So why are you making that worse by giving people who don't like Muslims an excuse to not like Muslims? You're making it harder for yourself. It's like you're running uphill instead of going downhill. Why do that? Suffering is...
Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering.
That's what Yoda said. Listen to fucking Yoda.
But assimilation sometimes isn't always the answer.
It's a great thing. Assimilation's great. Learn the language, become part of the culture. If I moved to Canada, I would support Canadian sports. I'd learn to say A at the end of every sentence. That's what you got to do if you want to go to Canada.
Maple syrup and
you don't go to Canada
hockey.
And go, I'm going to build a South African folk start in Canada. You go to Canada because you want to be in Canada. So accept Canadians as your brethren. Oh, man, it drives me crazy. You go to Australia and you try to listen to Afrikaans music and organize sockies and you're stupid. Why did you move to Australia? Stay in Rustenburg.
Oh, rusty, dusty, man.
Why would someone from Mitchell's Plain move to Sweden and then get upset when the Swedish people don't want to do the minstrels carnival? What's the way?
Or street racing.
Street racing. All right, enough. You get my basic idea. And by the way, the Saudis have offered Pakistan $6 billion in a rescue package to ease the economic crisis in that country. So the Saudis are just trying to buy their way out of problems. And maybe it'll work. I mean, $6 billion, that's a lot more than they offered us. Remember we had Cyril go over there and beg and plead? Mm. They gave us nothing like $6 billion.
Oh, what did we get?
A couple of hundred million.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was more.
No. They don't have any.
Or maybe that's what Cyril told
they
us.
Respect us like they need Pakistan, you see. Because Pakistan borders on
Cyril told us.
Iran. And Iran's their big enemy. All right, enough. Those are the five things you need to know. Let's get to Ben in the sport. It is just about a quarter to seven. Ben, what do you have for us today?
The Proteas women are off to the West Indies for their T20 World Cup. A big wrap-up of the Champions League from last night. And is there actually more to this Khabib Mayweather fight than we may have thought? Ah, so I know all the excitement's around the Mzansi Super League, but right now the SA women's team is off to the West Indies to go play the World T20. So the West Indies are the defending world or defending champions of this trophy. So South Africa will be in Group A. They'll be with the West Indies, with England, Sri Lanka and Bangladesh. And then Group B will be Australia, India, New Zealand, Pakistan and Ireland. So what's the difference between men's T20 and women's T20?
Men playing one and women playing the other.
Spot on. I guess that's the right answer. So, if
Explained.
You're looking to...
What is this Mzansi thing you guys have been talking about? I don't know.
Oh, Gareth.
I feel very left
get
out.
Get your head out of your ass. It's like
what
the
is
biggest
it?
Thing in SA sport right now.
What is it?
The Mzansi Super League.
Gareth.
Get to it in a second.
There's this league and Ben has
please
now given
you
us
not
various
explain.
Teams.
I don't want you to explain that anything to do with sport to me. Please. That would be like going to the Saudis for the true story on Khashoggi. Please, Ben, just explain to me very briefly what
yes, you're ungrateful there. I was going to explain then.
So, Gareth, the Mzansi Super League is the new T20 league for Mzansi, South Africa, right here. Starting from the 16th of November to December the 16th, it will be a month of just fantastic T20 action where every city, major city, gets a team. So, like, I'm the Jersey Stars. That's me. That's my game. Sia's team is the Tshwane Spartans. Nolo's the Cape
With
Town Blitz.
With AB de Villiers.
Yeah, Nolo's the Cape Town Blitz. You are the Nelson Mandela Bay Giants.
That's no, your
team.
You said he was Paul. Wasn't it Paul
Rocks?
You
give me PE.
Sorry, you are the Paul Rocks.
Yes.
The Paul Rocks is
the
your team.
Paul Rocks.
That's your team.
Some people have lions. Some people have eagles. I have rocks.
Have you seen Paul's rock? It's
I have
very
rocks.
Impressive. Paul has
They call them
rocks.
The Rocks?
Yeah.
Isn't that some kind of racial pejorative? didn't English people call Afrikaans people rock spiders once? Is that some kind of like racial epithet? What is that? Why rocks? Why do
ben
I get the
assigned this team to you so you can explain
it
better?
I do not like this. All right, I don't want to interrupt anymore. You carry on.
Well, we'll get into the fixtures close to the time, of course, for the Mzansi Super League.
Rocks.
Because, and Leanne's the Durban Heat.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, she's
on heat. What a thing to deal with.
So the Sri Lanka will be SA Women's first match. So 12th of November, you get to see that one. Of course, they're going over there to get some warm-up games going. It's a pretty lengthy, long tour. But it's great. You know, the women are building as far as the sport's concerned. Obviously, with more opportunities internationally, they become stronger and more consistent. We have seen them do well in patches from time to time. But of course, once you start to tour with each other, you start to gel and bond. So it's a really good step. So that's the ICC Women's World T20. And that'll be taking place from the 9th of November, which, see, is a week before the start of the Mzansi Super League.
I will note that down in my calendar.
Exciting time.
Okay.
It's Champions League, Champions, that's the big football thing. So AEK Athens, they lost to Bayern Munich last night, 2-0. The young boys got their first points in the Champions League. Yeah, they held Valencia to a 1-1 draw. That could be the result of the entire Champions League already. Real Madrid, they were unconvincing against Victoria Plzeň. Ajax beat Benfica. Shakhtar Donetsk, well, they were never going to beat Man City, were they? No, they lost 3-0 at home. Manchester United, they were also never going to beat Juventus. Pretty boring match that, but Juventus winning 1-0. And Roma, they beat CSKA Moscow 3-0. And then Hoffenheim, 1873, please, or something or other. They drew with Olympique Lyonnais 3-3. tonight, though, this is when they get very, very exciting. This is the big night. Mm-hmm. Club Brugge, they'll take on Monaco at 5-7. And PSV will take on Tottenham at the same time. And then Liverpool will take on Zvezda Zvezda.
That's the guy who killed Favut, Zvezda Zvezda.
Otherwise known as Red Star Belgrade, for something slightly more palatable.
Okay.
Then Barcelona will take on Inter Milan. PSG will take on Napoli. Lokomotiv Moscow will take on Porto. Borussia Dortmund versus Atletico Madrid. And then Galatasaray versus Schalke. Where's Galatasaray from, Sia?
I don't know.
Turkey.
Yeah, Turkey.
Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. So the Telkom Knockout Cup is also obviously a big deal in SA, and the final last 16 team was announced. Sorry, quarterfinal team was announced. AmaZulu yesterday beat Cape Town City. So this is the draw for your quarterfinals.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday, this coming Saturday, the 3rd of November, which is next Saturday, sorry. Baroka versus Sundowns, Chiefs versus Suwanee United, Maritzburg United versus Wits, and AmaZulu versus Orlando Pirates. Huh. That's the Telkom Knockout Cup. Now, we all know that when the words Floyd and Mayweather come together, it's some sort of fighting farce. Or is it really? Because as we know, boxing is, well, it's okay. It kind of peaked around certain times of Tyson and Holyfield and Lennox Lewis and a few other people. And it was great up until then. Then it kind of lost its way a bit. And much like Mike Tyson's life, they haven't really been able to get huge amounts of groundswell around that sport. I mean, the Klitschko brothers were fantastic, but they were mostly boring. Then MMA came in and filled the void. Everyone started watching that because they could relate to these people because they're in different kind of tattoos and hairstyles and different upbringing. And it was quite rough and it was raw, but it was genuine. It was like emotion was back in fighting. So it's only a matter of time until someone like Floyd Mayweather was able to really make money out of this, as we saw with the Conor McGregor fight. He made huge money. Everybody watched it. Everyone was sucked into the hype. Ultimately, the fight was pretty crappy. But now, Khabib Nurmagomedov has actually met with the Russian Boxing Federation to discuss the Mayweather fight.
Yes.
So it's not just a PR, like, hype, whatever. It seems like he's genuinely keen to do it. So, yes, and as we've said in the show, it's another farce. Why would he be drawn into Mayweather's ring? Sorry, I'll say that again. Why would he be drawn into Mayweather's territory? Because he's obviously going to lose. But, again, this is what sport is, ultimately. We must never lose sight of this. It's all about entertainment. So, yesterday, Khabib Nurmagomedov, he met with Umar Kremlev.
Yeah,
imagine how hardcore a guy like Umar Kremlev is.
His name is Kremlev.
He's the Secretary General of the Russian Boxing Federation.
He's killed people.
This guy eats glass for lunch, no doubt. Yeah. So he went to the Met and they're like, you know, how can we make this fight happen? This is the kicker which makes this fight a lot more interesting than that whole Vegas schmooze fest, which was McGregor versus Mayweather.
Sure.
Is that this might actually take place in Moscow. Mm. And it will take place in front of 100,000 mostly inebriated Russians.
Mm.
Can you imagine what a spectacle that would be?
Who will afterwards have their own boxing match.
Oh, yeah. I mean, people will die that night. They will actually die. So the Luzhniki Stadium, which can host 100,000 people, has done before during the former Soviet Union.
Terrifying.
The Soviet Union once played an international soccer match versus Italy in 63, and they got 100,000 people.
Oh,
so they want to do the same thing. And I'm thinking it could totally happen. It's very much a chance that this could happen. And then what have we got? We've got a great sporting spectacle. Now, when Muhammad Ali was having the Rumble in the Jungle and the Thriller in Manila, these were all big things. So we always harp back on how things were great back in the day, but this is our maybe current day big sporting pinnacles. 100,000 people watching a fight? Call it what you want. If 100,000 people are going to be there, it's a big deal.
Sure.
So Nurmagomedov, if he becomes a good enough boxer, I still doubt that because Mayweather is. We've had this conversation many, many times. But it's still quite a thing. And this is a dude that can physically knock people out. Whereas McGregor was, I don't know, he was dancing, he was tickling chins. This guy's got some real strike power. So I'm excited about this, actually. When you really put it into this sort of context and realize what it means as a sporting event, and I think at the same time, he wouldn't mind boxing in Russia, seeing as, well, he kind of misbehaved himself in America last time around. I think a lot of his support staff won't get visas too. So there's also that. But okay. That's the darker side of things. That's pretty much it for your sport. Big Champions League tonight. Right. And then on to the weekend as of tomorrow.
Very good. Thank you, Ben. That sounds excellent. It's also time for Sia to give us Said by Sia. So take it away. You were interrupted rudely by the Renegades yesterday. I saw some comments on social media saying that it was hijacked by the Renegades. Said by Sia.
Renegades.
Some people love Said by Sia, and they found the Renegades to be very disrespectful of Said by Sia. So you have a clean slate today.
It was fine and fun having them in here yesterday. Well, this is a very simple story and just so heartwarming. It's the South Africa we like to speak about. A woman named Kat Stott shared a post on Facebook around a random act of kindness that she experienced while she was driving and her car broke down over the weekend. So she put this up on Facebook and was thanking the Good Samaritan who helped her out named Godfrey. So here's a bit of her post and listen to this. So she says, "I need to shout out praise for a fellow human being today. Someone who I believe saved me and my daughter from a fate that could have been death or very serious injury." So she says that she was driving on the N1 highway over the weekend on Saturday. She was on her way to a wedding and she was in the middle lane of the highway and her car broke down. She said there was nothing else.
First of all, I hate you for doing that. That's very, very, very inconsiderate. In the middle lane of the highway, do you know how that ruins everyone else's day, Kat Stott?
Because she chose to have her car break down, right?
How dare you?
Yes. it's so
funny. Random act of kindness. You're lucky you weren't a random victim of violence.
It's funny you mentioned that because she says in her post, people were hooting at me. Yeah. Like I'd chosen to stop in the middle of the flipping N1. People were screaming at her, flashing their lights as well as they were swerving away at the last second. We totally understand how this could have really been a horrible situation. And then she noticed all of a sudden this pickup truck that landed up behind her and just stopped. This guy came over to her and she was trying to explain that actually I've already called my insurance company. They're sending someone on the way. And this man, the driver of this pickup truck named Godfrey, said, "Ma'am, actually, no, I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in taking your money. But I've just realized how dangerous of a position you're in. And I just want to make sure that you and your daughter are okay." So this Godfrey, who was driving a pickup truck, actually just hooked up Kat's car onto his truck and drove them to the side of the road and stayed with them up until more help stopped by and came to them. So that was it. I think it's so heartwarming. You know, he didn't want anything, just wanted to make sure that these two ladies were safe and okay. Because you think about how much danger they could have been in a highway, someone speeding in and could have driven straight into them.
Oh yeah.
And so I just think, shout out to you, Godfrey. Didn't want anything at all, just wanted to make sure that a fellow human being was okay. I think that's really awesome.
Nice.
And that's
good
your tip by Sia for this morning.
That's a good story. Thank you, Sia.
Really, very, really nice. Cool.
All right. So it's Wednesday. We're here to look after you today. We are keeping you company. As you head off to work and get your day started, you can get hold of us on 0861-555-189. Nolo is manning the phones. She's ready to take your call. If you want to message us, 0797482090. The only two numbers you need to know this morning. If you want to join the conversation.
And the Mega Millions, if you're in the United States.
What's happening there?
The Mega Millions jackpot.
Mm-hmm. How much?
It was worth $1.6 billion US dollars.
Ooh, that would be... Imagine becoming an overnight billionaire.
Shucks, I mean, imagine about the tax on that. So, yeah, the lotto happened on Tuesday night, American time. If no one wins and there's a rollover, it will go up to $2 billion US dollars.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
They have to put a cap on something like this, right?
No.
If there's a rollover on $2 billion, what does that become?
Keep growing.
Oh.
Nice. I love it. CliffCentral.com.